The following program is intended for mature audiences.
And it's blocked. It is picked up by Will Hill. Will Hill runs down the sideline. Hill's going to get a block. Will Hill is going to win the game. And a block field goal. Unbelievable.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Another day in the United States of America, huh?
Another day, another shooting, another record set.
I was up late last night following this stuff because it was obviously happening in my time zone.
Right.
But I stayed up till like 4 a.m. watching news stuff and waiting for the updates from the sheriff and all that. I don't know why, but this one, it's just hard for me to fathom this one.
The guy opened, I'm assuming, a hotel window and just opened fire on people with a machine gun.
Yeah, he had a, they found some more information about the guy. He was a relatively big gambler. Not that he was big in debt or anything, but, you know, he gambled enough to where he had got like suites comped by the Mandalay Bay and stuff like that.
Right.
So he was on a 32nd floor suite. You see, like, there's pictures of the windows. He didn't open the window. He just blasted through it.
Oh, yeah, because they wouldn't have windows that would open that high anyway. You're right, yeah.
Two of the windows were blasted out. I don't know. At first I was like, why would there be two windows blasted out? Why would he be in one more than two rooms? But if he has a suite, that makes sense. I've walked that stretch of the strip, you know, five different times. It's so strange to think about how close that is to everything else. Mm-hmm. Like it's across the street from, you know, diagonal to Mandalay Bay, across the street from the Luxor, half a block away from the MGM, you know, a block away diagonally from the New York from where T-Mobile Arena is, where the Golden Knights are going to play.
Somebody is furiously typing.
Oh, no, sorry, that's me.
The Golden Knights played a game last night.
Yeah.
Like, and it ended a half hour before this stuff started. I don't know. The more and more I thought about it, and like, you know, you sit there and the numbers come out, and like, it's like, okay, there's at first it's like, well, there's two dead, maybe that's okay, and then, but it was still early, and then 20, and then when they get to 50, it's just like, oh my God.
Last I checked, and this was a few hours ago, it was 59 was the death total.
59 and over 500 injured.
Yeah. I started to throw it on the boards about it. I just don't know what to say at this point, really.
Yeah. To varying degrees of other ones, you could say, well, that one was more preventable or there could have been something done to stop it. I don't know what you do to prevent this one.
Well, from all accounts, they still don't have a motive unless something has come up in the last couple. Like, he wasn't tied to any extremist groups. He didn't make any demands. He didn't even really have a criminal record. And like you said, Zach, like he wasn't in any significant debt. So right. I don't know.
Right. Like the first tweet I saw was like the gambling stuff. I was like, oh, okay. He was probably a big gambler and, you know, was in debt and wanted to make some sort of scene. And then the second tweet, the follow up came out. It was like, and no, he just, you know, he bet a lot on video poker and got a suite. And it was like, oh, okay.
And I read somewhere that he was a real estate developer and had a significant amount of money.
But I guess his brother that they interviewed said that he hasn't had a steady job in like 30 years, supposedly. But he has a lot of money to be able to have all these houses to essentially purchase these guns somehow. Cause these aren't like handguns that you buy at the basketball shop, you know, these are big time things.
When you heard, I don't know if you've watched any of the video, but there's a video where he opens up with an automatic machine gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I trust me. I was on Twitter all night. I saw every possible piece of video that you could have seen from this thing.
The guy wasn't kidding around. He was there to take people out.
Yeah.
Really, and it's kind of miraculous that the death toll is only 59. I mean, really. As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, you get the 500 injured.
Right.
And, you know, that those could have all, you know, depending on where the bullets hit you, it could have been well worse. And like I said, I don't know what you do to prevent this. It's just, it was a massive festival concert that I'm sure we've all seen pictures of or maybe even attended ourselves. And the guy was 320 feet in the air with a machine gun pointing at a mass of people. Like, unless you put the thing in a bulletproof dome, what do you do to prevent that?
Well, even if you put it in a bulletproof dome, you still can't stop people from getting in and doing it inside.
Well, there's security. In that case, you would think that there's security and, like, you would stop them at the door. But, yeah.
The big thing for me in a lot of these situations is I keep going, and I think in a lot of cases, I do think this argument holds up, that if the United States had even just a bit more stringent restrictions on who could own guns, then maybe some of this would be prevented. But nothing from this guy's background seems to indicate that even a more robust gun control policy would, like, he seems like he would have passed by even those standards. So I don't know. He was.
And even with that, though, we still need to figure out how, you know, there's still a lot of information to find out. But the one that I'm most interested in is how the hell, or where did he get this gun? How did it, like, where was it procured?
It's
supposedly this type of gun's not the easiest to come by. Like, it's not like somebody went into a school with a handgun. This is.
No, but if you have the means, and it sounds like he did, you can get a gun like that. It's really not that difficult.
Maybe.
There's a very healthy black market for that type of thing. A lot of these guns were out there before they were made illegal, and it's not hard. It's just depending on if you want it and if you have the money to do it.
Well, you said there too, black market. Like, if there's gun control restrictions on stuff, that's not going to stop him from going to a black market to pick it up.
No, that's one of the arguments that gun advocates have, is that criminals are always going to get guns, and that's true. I guess, to Mike's point, what we can stop with more robust gun laws is keeping people that are mentally unstable, because at least you hope, at least, that they wouldn't think it through enough to get a gun. But really, at the end of the day, and I am completely in favor of tougher gun laws and all that, but when a guy wants to do something like this and he has the wherewithal and the means to do it, he's going to do it. Now, that's not to say that we should just say, okay, screw it, let's arm everybody, which is another thing that a lot of gun advocates say. Well, if we arm ourselves, then it makes us safe in a situation like this. Unless you had a high-powered rifle down there in that crowd, there was nothing you were going to do except hope you didn't get hit. It's a very, very tough issue. I don't know what the answer is. I know that we need tougher laws, but like you said, Zach, in this case, with the black market, with that kind of weapon, what could we have done to stop it, really?
And he did it from his hotel room, and he was a local, and it's, so there's no, like, I tried to trace through, like, what he would have to do to get to where he was, and there's no security that could have gotten in the way of that, right? Like, it wasn't like he traveled via plane. It's not, they didn't have to check him, you know, in his bag going on the plane. There's no bag checks at hotels, but, you know, you would have to think that that's not far behind now.
At a hotel, I mean, and a gun like that, I'm pretty sure you can dismantle it and carry it in a normal size suitcase. Basically, with the gun laws and stuff, to make them tougher, what we would be hopefully reducing the number of are the things that we don't hear a lot about that happen with a lot more regularity, which is domestic violence where people get shot. And that type of thing. That's because, really, I mean, this is the headline grabber and this is a tragedy and everything else. But the reality is that people get shot every day with completely legal guns, that I think if it was made tougher to get those guns, that you wouldn't see as many domestic shootings. Because that's where the real, not that this isn't an issue, but that's where the real issue lies, is that you've got to stop that kind of thing. And I think that's where the gun laws, or that's what you're aiming at. Because I think I read somewhere that some ridiculously high percentage of gun crime takes place within the frame of domestic violence. So you make it tougher to get those kind of guns. I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is. I just, how many does this make now that we've had in the last 3 or 4 years?
Well, the definition for a mass shooting actually isn't that high. It's like, what is it, just like three or more?
The fact that we even have to have that is just troubling.
Well, yeah, but it's like if you kill, I think it's if you kill three or more, it then gets termed mass. And by those definitions, we've already had 270 this year.
Wow.
But in terms of like the big headline grabbers, I mean, we have this one, you have the Orlando.
Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook. You have San Bernardino, Orlando.
Aurora. Was it Aurora?
Aurora, Colorado.
Or Colorado.
Virginia Tech. Don't forget the Bowling Green Massacre.
Yeah. Of course.
How can we forget that one?
Well, I mean, you know, since our commander-in-chief was so outspoken against that one, you got to know that he's taking a hard stance on this one.
I don't know what to say. It's horrible. If there were a way to stop it, I would surely hope that we would, you know, utilize whatever we could to stop things like this. But at the end of the day, I think a nut is a nut, and there's not a whole lot you can do to do anything about it. And I promise you that machine gun was either purchased legally years and years ago, or he got it through illegal means. But yeah. But the you know, the argument that we have to take guns like this off the street, I think we've already done that. But you can't stop. It's like the drug war. I it's kind of a poor comparison, I suppose, but the drug war, if people want to do drugs, they're going to do drugs. If a nut job wants to get a machine gun, he's going to find a machine gun. And you just hope that, I shouldn't say a nut job, but if somebody wants a machine gun, they're going to get one. And you just hope that, and I also understand that there are rifles you can get that they're easily modified to make into automatic weapons. So who knows? I don't know where, do you either outlaw them all and hope for the best, or I don't know what the middle ground is. I really don't. How about
the playoffs?
First off, let's all sing a rounding chorus of Ram It right about now. The only thing that I didn't love about that game with the Rams yesterday were those uniforms. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to overlook the stupid half measure when they're wearing the white jersey.
Yeah.
But when they go with the blue jersey and then the all blue totally, it's just, ugh.
It
literally looked like they were wearing two different uniforms.
I agree.
Like, oh, crap, we forgot our regular helmets, so we have these ones and we'll wear these jerseys and the hell with it.
I can't imagine they're going to keep this up for 3 years. They're not going to sell any merchandise. They're just not going to.
Technically, it's only going to be one more year after this season, so.
Well, no, because the stadium's not opening until 2020.
Right.
Wow. We're going to have two more years of this.
You're going to have the 18, 19. Yeah, so basically this season, like, okay, 2.75 more years or whatever you want to call it. But,
well,
yeah.
If I were the Rams, I would have just taken whatever the fine was and worn the throwbacks yesterday.
Worn them full time. Go out and get some white jerseys made and be done with this nonsense, really.
Yeah. Well,
but
aren't you allowed to wear your throwbacks twice a year?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's why I said I just would have taken the fine. Like, I would
That's what I'm trying to think. I don't think they wore them at home twice last year. I think they just wore them the one time.
Well,
so they could have very easily worn the correct jerseys yesterday.
Well, they did not. I mean, they played like a first place football team, but they sure did. They looked like something that a high school team that threw their uniforms together from donations from other teams.
Look, if they could play like the way that they have yesterday and really these first four games for the rest of the season, I am A-okay with that. Highest scoring team in the league, 35 points a game. The only thing that, like, the only things that are not, you know, in my little, my pro column has a lot, but my con column has, you know, yesterday, the offense looked great, but 7 field goals.
Yeah.
Not going to do it. You know, they still ended up winning, but like, I even if 7 of those field goals, if 2 of them are touchdowns, it's a 13-point win instead of a 5-point win, and maybe you feel a little better about it.
Mm-hmm.
Need to do a little bit better finishing in the red zone. And the defense is still a work in progress. They've switched schemes. Last year they were a 4-3, and now with Wade Phillips they're a 3-4. So they're still kind of feeling that out a little bit. But they have a defensive talent, and that should be fixed. I'm not worried about it quite yet. But yeah, first place Los Angeles Rams, and then they play the Seahawks this weekend. And if they beat the Seahawks, well, they'll be in first place by two whole damn games. Can't wait for that.
I'm assuming. Oh yeah, yeah, because I remember the Seahawks scored that defensive touchdown and pretty much put the Rams or the Colts away last night.
Yeah, that one that was a blowout. The Colts.
Well, that game last night was just two very bad teams. Just like the Seahawks are not a good team this year, guys.
No, they're just not.
The game against the Rams will probably be close just because, but I fully anticipate the Rams pulling it out. And you know,
well, the Rams have had their way with the Seahawks when they were bad,
right? But that was with Jeff Fisher though, and I don't know if it was like just a team thing or if it was a Jeff Fisher thing. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll figure it out on Sunday.
It's just been a crazy. I mean, we're at the one quarter mark of the season now, so at this point, I think we're allowed to say we can talk about things without being considered to be overreacting or anything of the above. And the only thing I've come away with so far in the season is that I think we've really achieved parity this year. I don't know that there is a one great team.
No, I don't think there's any good. Like it, there's no. I keep hearing these podcasts and other people trying to talk about like putting them in tiers of who's the best teams right now, and it's like I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
Like, there's no way to say.
The only team that I think you could say is above the rest is probably the Chiefs.
Maybe
they're the only undefeated still.
But they've got a tough game tonight against the Redskins. You just don't know.
Well, yeah, but if the Chiefs take care of that today, I think you could solidly say that they're the best.
But here's the thing: you could, yeah, but the Redskins have made just enough noise this year that I don't think it's a given that the Chiefs win. Washington could very well come out and win this game tonight.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, even like before the season, we say it's death, taxes, and the New England Patriots. But they're 2-2, and their defense looks like garbage.
Yeah,
and they lost to a very bad Carolina team.
They could be They are this close to being 1-3 right now.
Yeah,
they are Houston interception. A Houston team that I think were at a little more experienced would have probably beaten them in New England 2 weeks ago or week before last, whenever it was. And one dropped interception away from the Patriots being 1-3, and the defense for a Bill Belichick team especially looks horrible.
Yeah,
no, you can't let the Panthers who scored 9 points against the Bills, who I think might actually be good this time. But I'm not ready to go that far yet.
Not sure. Nope.
I've got friends who are Bills fans from back home, and I was texting one of them yesterday, being like, "Hey, look at the Bills go!" And he goes, "They did this last year. It means nothing."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, hell, the Rams were 3-1 last year too, but.
But with the Patriots though, I mean, the Panthers have not looked like a good team, and it wasn't like they found their rhythm yesterday or anything. They just got a hold of a bad defense. And the thing about that would really be troubling to me if I were a Patriots fan, they did this in your house. That bad team came in there and beat you. I don't know, man. But all I know so far is that we've got some really bad teams. The Cleveland Browns.
What the hell happened to the Cleveland Browns? Because before the season, we were all like, this is going to be the year where they're not the laughing stock of the league.
They are no better. Unless you guys are seeing something that I am not, they are no better than they were last year or the year before. I have not seen any type of improvement.
I think a lot of people were banking on the fact that, okay, they flushed the whole thing out. They're starting over the draft picks, and they're making nice decisions, and maybe they're starting to build something, but clearly they're not. And it's funny that you now see what the Texans are doing once they finally put Deshaun Watson in, and he's kind of picked things up now. And
to say the least.
Yeah, the pick that the Texans used to get him was originally the Browns' pick.
Yeah.
So
is this another one of those things where in 5 years we're going to be reviewing the Browns' draft picks, being like, what were they doing?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what we're going to be doing.
I mean, we can do that every single year, but it's. This year, it's, hey, look, you missed Deshaun Watson. I'm sure you like Deshaun Kizer. Maybe that's what happened. They said, hey, get that Deshaun quarterback kid. Like, okay. And then they picked the wrong one.
The logic seemed sound at the time because you don't know what Watson's going to do. But the logic was we don't like either one of these guys well enough to take them that high in the first round. Okay, fair enough. But so they got what Kizer in, I think, the second round, like their third or fourth pick in the second round. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But then again, with the drafts being the way it is now, and they're you don't have to worry about blowing a bunch of money on a rookie contract anymore, why not roll the dice on Watson?
Yeah. Hindsight's 20/20, and we can ridicule the Browns.
Well, I will say this, too, in defense of the Browns, that Deshaun Watson had a lot more to work with going in to the Texans than Deshaun Kizer does. Not to say that Deshaun Kizer is going to be as good, but I don't know if Deshaun Watson is this good if he's playing for the Cleveland Browns right now, is my point.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
You were also.
But I just got to go back to week one and go, what were they thinking starting Tom Savage?
Yeah. I mean, if they don't do that, then they're what? They're 4-0 now?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably.
They'd be 3-1 because of the Patriots. But yeah, here, let's try and go through some of these. So Rams Cowboys already talked about. Colts Seahawks kind of got out of the way easy. Early in the morning, we gave London another, fine showing of football. Hey, Greg, remember how good Jay Cutler and the Dolphins were supposed to be?
I don't know. I heard some idiot on some podcast say that, but I thought that guy's out of his mind. There's no way.
So
can't possibly be know what he's talking about, and clearly he didn't.
Not only did the Dolphins score 6 points against the Jets last week, they got shut out by the Saints.
Well, now let's stop here for a second. That's a 2-2 New York Jets, by the way. Two wins, yeah. Two losses.
Jesus Christ.
With Zeppo McCann. You know, you're going to think I'm nuts. I'm still not ready to give up on the Dolphins. I think they will find their way. I don't know if the first week of the season screwed them up or what, but yeah, you know what? No, I'm not. They're fucked.
Look, the Dolphins are 1-2. They got their one win because the Chargers chargered.
Right.
And they lost to the Jets, and they got shut out by the Saints. If they had just lost to the Saints, it'd be like, okay, maybe Drew Brees went off. Drew Brees had a rather pedestrian day, and the Dolphins were hot garbage.
How long has Sean Payton been the coach of the Saints now? At least since 2009, because that's when they won the Super Bowl. So that's at least 8 years. And I'm going to say he was probably there at least 2 years before that. And those 10 years of coaching the New Orleans Saints, you know how many shutouts they had before yesterday? None.
No.
Zero.
Yeah. Jay Cutler looks so disinterested.
Well, that's what he's paid to do, though. That's prime Jay Cutler right there.
Did you see – I didn't watch the game, but I saw the one play where they did like a shift and Jay Cutler lined up as a wide receiver.
Yeah, no. It was the most unconvincing selling of like Wildcat. Yeah.
Yeah, normally the quarterback, he puts his one knee forward and leans over, pretends like he's about to go run a route. Jay Cutler was standing straight up and down with his hands on his hips.
Oh, boy.
Just straight up and down, hands on his hips, looking back at the quarterback like, all right, you're going to snap it? What are you going to do? And it's just like, if I was the corner, I'd be like, all right, I guess I'm just going to leave Jay now. I'm going to just go.
I honestly, God, I really thought this could work. I really thought that he was no worse, at least, than Ryan Tannehill. But I was wrong. I missed the boat on this one big time. There is just no way. I don't see this. Because it would be one thing if they'd showed signs of what they're capable of, but they're just terrible. Yeah. I don't even know how else to put it. They just have no earthly idea what they're trying to do.
And the thing for them, too, the hurricane is going to really kind of screw them in the end of this thing because they don't have a bye week to, fix any issues.
Yeah, well.
They're 16 straight through.
I don't know that they could fix anything even if they had 2 weeks off in a row.
Yeah.
They're just bad, and I really missed on that one. I thought it might be a thing that would work out, and it's clearly not going to.
Do you think that they go to Matt Moore?
I don't think you could be any worse, right? At least he's been there long enough to know the offense and everything.
Which is what I said.
Yeah, I know.
Those are the exact words I said.
I know. I just thought, Jay Cutler's best season was with Adam Gase. So you think they're reunited in Miami, and Cutler's out from under the pressure of being the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. It might have been a thing.
As somebody pointed out to me, we just looked at the offensive numbers for Cutler that year. The Bears were 6-9 that season.
Ah, well.
I don't know why nobody picked up on that part, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
The Saints aren't good, and the Dolphins are even less not good.
Yeah. We mentioned the Bills. Now, the Falcons are really a couple plays away from being 2-2, 1-3.
Right.
They played a tight game with the Bears. That Lions win from last week is – if there's no fluke rule thing, that the Lions probably win that one.
The only team they've beaten convincingly is the Packers.
Yeah. And now they lose at home – to the Bills, who the Bills are okay. I wouldn't say that they're good. They're 3-1, but they're I can fully see this Bills team doing what the Rams did last year, where like after a couple weeks they're 3-1 and the Rams had beaten Seahawks, and it's like, hey, we're doing okay. Maybe we're going to be all right. I don't really know. And then they end up, then they go 1-11 through the rest of the game.
Of all the prognosticators that grab a microphone for the NFL, you and I should know better than anyone not to get on board with these Buffalo Bills just yet. Like I said last week, when they win 5 in a row, then I'll get on board. Until then, I'm sorry, I'm not buying in. I'm just not. But the Falcons, this game was, boy, it looked good, though. The Falcons had the throwbacks going and the Bills. It was a good-looking game. But that's a good win for the Bills to go in on the road. But I think they did this last year where they went in and beat a team on the road. Maybe it was even New England, for that matter, where they got a win on the road they shouldn't have gotten. I don't know. I'm not buying in yet. Sorry. And I'm not too worried about the Falcons just yet either. But
See, that's the thing, though, because I'm not sold on the Bills either, but at the same time, if I'm not sold on the Bills, then how do I take this beating of the Falcons? So
simple. No one goes undefeated, and even the really good teams are going to lose one or two games a year. Yeah, they had no business losing. So I'm just going to write this off to that.
But at the same time, though, are the Falcons really a good team that just, you know, had a fluke loss? Because like we said, this is a team that easily could be 1-3.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I think the Falcons, all this did was prove to me that I don't know who the best team in the NFC is supposed to be. Like I
good luck. Going, the Rams.
Right. Is it the Rams? Is it the Lions? Is it the Falcons? Is it, you know, who do you pick among the NFC teams to say, oh yeah, that's the team? Or the Packers? I mean, they're 3-1 also. I don't know.
As it stands right now, as a Packers fan, it makes me feel better that the NFC is like this, because now I look at it and go, okay, they could get on a streak and make the Super Bowl. That's not to say that they're good or that they're going to win it, but it could happen now. Whereas 2 weeks ago, I thought it's just not possible. I don't know who the best team in the NFC is right now. I mean, maybe we know it's not the Giants. We know it's probably not.
I can say with good confidence it is not the Giants.
We know it's probably not the 49ers. I'm going to say it's probably not the Cardinals. Yeah. After that, I'm pretty sure it's not the Seahawks, although they had a big win over the Colts yesterday. But really, other than that, they haven't done anything. And the defense put – how many of those 46 points did the defense put up yesterday?
Probably about half of them.
Yeah. So it's not the Seahawks. But then again, we've written up the Seahawks before, too, where they've had rough starts like this. You know, they'd be, like, flirting with 500, and then all of a sudden, they're 12-4 at the end of the year.
And that's why this upcoming week against the Rams is such a huge game. Because if the Rams are 4-1 and the Seahawks fall to 2-3, then you really got something going. But if the Seahawks and the Rams are both 3-2, then, you know, okay, the Rams will fall to second place. Maybe they compete for a wild card, but this will be the Seahawks division. They'll be fine. So, obviously, like we say, when we just don't know about a lot of these teams, it's still we'll see what they do this week. And that's what I feel about pretty much every team in the league as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me see how they play next week, and I'll give you an opinion.
I think the Lions got a really nice win yesterday in Minnesota. But then how much stock can you put into beating a team that really doesn't have a quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, so who knows?
I thought their defense played really well, but again, no quarterback. And Matt Stafford should be able to put more than 14 points against the Vikings. But
you would think.
You would think.
Go ahead.
I think it's funny. The Bengals looked just as god-awful as the Browns did, but then they blew them out.
Yeah.
Just shows you how down the Browns are, I guess.
And this was a game, too, that people around here had circled as a win for the Browns. This and the Colts. This was where they thought, you know, they could get off to a 2-2 start this season because they're going to get easy games against the Colts and the Bengals, and they ended up losing both of them. They're nowhere. I don't know if they're heading in the right direction or not. I would think that if they were, you would see it. It looks to me like they're just as inept as they were last year. I don't see any difference, and that troubles me, especially if I'm a Browns fan. Anyway.
With the Panthers and the Patriots, when I was watching the end of this game and the Patriots tied it up late, and I was like, okay, yeah, the Panthers were up decently earlier, but the Patriots do what they do best.
and they're gonna win this thing in the end on some fluky thing. But the Panthers manned up and got that game winning field goal. That was surprising. Cam Newton came back alive, being the Cam Newton of old. Probably hopes that Patriots defense is as bad as it is. It's actually the worst. I think it's the worst defense in the league right now.
Well, one thing it does is it makes the Kansas City blowout seem like less of a fluke now.
Yeah.
Where, like, at the beginning of the season, you're like, whoa, that's not going to happen. That's just one of those fluky things. But maybe not. Maybe the defense is that bad.
They've let up points to every single team they've played.
Yeah.
Like not a small amount of points either. So,
but the Chiefs scored, 42?
Chiefs scored 42. The Texans scored what, like 33, 34?
33, yeah. Panthers put up 33. Who was the other game they played?
New Orleans.
I don't remember what the score in that one was.
Yeah.
I think Brady went off, though. I think they won that game pretty big, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to make of the Patriots. I said at the beginning of the season that they would still win the division, but it wasn't going to be like a 14-2 year. It'd be a 10-6, 11-5 at best, and maybe that's what we're looking at with these guys.
Yeah, and I don't know. Similarly, I don't know what the hell to do with the Panthers. They struggled to put up points against the 49ers and the Bills, but then they scored 33 points against the Patriots.
And they're 3-1.
Yeah.
Okay, that's of all the 3-1s, I was going to say Atlanta's might be the softest, but I'm thinking that maybe the Panthers have the softest 3-1 start right now. Be tough to say between the two.
No, the Panthers, I think, have the softest 3-1. Like, the Panthers, like, Patriots aside, the Panthers have really only beaten some really bad teams.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, their other two wins are, as I said, the Niners and the Bills. But the Bills are 3-1, so, you know, who the hell really knows?
I'm not falling for that siren song of the Bills again just yet. I would love to. I like the Bills, but I'm just not – sorry, you've screwed me too many times.
We mentioned the 2-2 Jets. They went up to 2-2. The Jaguars dropped to 2-2 in overtime.
What the hell is up with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I don't know.
I'm going to float a theory, and let me see what you guys think of this. I think it was a mistake for the Jaguars to play in London and then not take the bye week this week.
I think the Saints and the Dolphins are doing the same thing. I think that's a mistake for any team that does that.
And I'm wondering if that's all that's wrong with the Jaguars, is that they just weren't ready to play this week because they had to fly overseas and all that. I don't know. It's just something I'm throwing out there.
Okay, the Jaguars have gone up and down every single week. They destroy the Texans. You know, the 10 sacks, the Saxonville that we've
been talking about. Yeah.
Then they go the next week and get beat pretty bad by the Titans. Then they go to London and kick the shit out of the Ravens. And now they come back and lose to the goddamn Jets.
Well, like, you know, if you remember when we were talking about these guys 4 weeks ago, we said that if they were good, they were like maybe going to go 7-9, 8-8, and that's the trajectory they're on right now.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think the Jets. Do we think the Jets are better than we thought they were?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't either.
Still not a good team.
Yeah.
I don't think they're better than they thought we were, but what I do know is that they're screwing themselves.
Yeah, big time.
Honestly, as weird as this is to say, signing Josh McCown was the biggest mistake the Jets have ever made.
I was just going to say that exact same thing. If you want to go out and get a good quarterback, don't bring in Zeppo McCown because he's just good enough to win 4 or 5 games.
Because there's all these guys that are out there, you know, wearing their Sam Darnold Jets jerseys already. And it's like, well, you've got 2 wins now. There's, you know, you got the 49ers below you, you got the Chargers below you, you got
the Browns
below you. You know, the Bengals are still below you now. There's all these 3 teams they get to contend with. The Jets aren't going to get the number 1 pick.
No, and they're going to win a couple more games this year too, because they still got the 2 games they were going to win anyway to add to these 2.
And everyone pegged this team as the best bet to go 0-16, and now we're 4 weeks in, they got 2 wins.
Yeah. And they're still going to get 1 or 2 more down the road at least, because that's just the way the NFL works. So now you're looking at 4-12 and probably out of the running for one of the franchise quarterbacks. So good thinking, guys. Way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of them. At least they were all white yesterday. I love that look for them.
Yeah.
Especially what I can say about the Jets.
Ravens have now lost 2 in a row after getting beaten by the Steelers 26-9.
If they split last week, I'd be jumping off the Ravens. They're not good. They're not.
Yeah. Joe Flacco, in his post-game press conference, said, "I sucked.
And he did.
Yeah. And Joe, I'm glad you finally seen what we all have.
That you're not elite.
No. No. And in fact, I saw many places on the internet, you know, last night, started the debate. Is it time to say that Joey Flacco is not elite?
Was it ever time to say that he was?
Well, it was all tongue in cheek because, you know,
gotcha.
We've all like said that, oh yeah, Joe Flacco was elite.
The elite. So people would like Well, it was after he insisted that he was elite a few years back.
I'll right. give him this. He's the best quarterback in the history of the Baltimore Ravens.
Hey, man, Trent Dilfer.
But Dilfer. That's what I'm saying. You're up there with guys like Trent Dilfer and Steve McNair played for them for a little while. I take that back.
Well, but do you really want to remember the Steve McNair years?
No. I'm just saying that Flacco's got a Super Bowl ring, so does Trent Dilfer. So you can take that for whatever it's worth, Ravens fans. Yeah.
The Steelers look still kind of like, not great either.
No,
they're 3-1, but they're not good.
I thought the Steelers had the best shot of knocking off the Patriots. And then Mike said, that's the Chiefs. I got to go with Mike. I think it's the Chiefs at this point.
Yeah. It has
I think
to
the
be.
Chiefs might actually be good. We'll have to see tonight because that's going to be a tough game for them with Washington, but they might actually be, this might be the year they actually put it together.
Yeah. I mean, Kareem Hunt's been great for him, and Alex Smith just keeps doing what he does, and, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe just by default, they'll luck themselves into doing okay this time. The Texans explode for a 56-14 win. Deshaun Watson, like we said, he's the truth. He's winning games now. And the thing for the Titans in this game, though, was Mariota pulled a hamstring before the game.
Yeah.
So they played this game without Marcus Mariota, so... Maybe you throw that one out, but still a nice game for Watson.
My irrational confidence Titans, the only one of these idiot teams like the Bills, Dolphins, and all the other ones that I've been on, these are the one that I just can't quit. I'm still with my Titans. I still think they're going to be a good team this year. I'm just throwing this one out the window as one of those days and not worrying about it.
I don't think I'm worrying about the Titans so much, but the Texans, I think, are really impressing. I think the Texans are kind of exceeding expectations. I mean, they could be 3-1 if they had not been so absolutely stupid of starting Savage in the first game of the season.
Well, that, and if they hadn't gotten kind of blinded by the big lights on the big stage against the Patriots, too. The thing with the Texans is that if, going back to the preseason, we knew they had a pretty good defense. The question was, could they score points? And with Deshaun Watson, it appears they might be able to score some points because they've got some good players with DeAndre Hopkins as a good wide receiver.
Yeah,
that Miller kid ran pretty well yesterday. If they can put points on the board, these guys are going to be a handful. And he could be, well, I think we even said he could be this year's Dak Prescott, was Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Or this year's whoever.
And right now, I think, you know, the rookie of the year race gets a little bit clearer for them, too. Because Dalvin Cook, he went back for the Vikings towards ACL, so he's out.
Yeah.
So really, it's just Deshaun Watson and probably Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Rookie of the year, so that's good for him.
I'm just glad to see Kareem Hunt doing so well. I've been watching him with the Rockets for years, and it's just cool to see.
The other interesting thing about this game, this game and the Seahawks-Colts game, this is the first time in NFL history that a game had finished with the final score of 57-14.
Yeah.
And final score of 46-18.
I knew that Seahawks score was going to be weird because it was 32-18, I think, at one point, and I thought, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, well, and there were safeties, and it was just I had it on, like, I was watching it for maybe a quarter, and then I had it on in the background.
It was 3-2 after the first quarter.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I was trying to think of, like, the minor league hockey teams. Like, it's 3-2 after the first period.
I was looking at it as an Orioles-Mariners game.
Yeah, that's true. So that's that. Speaking of games that I could have compared to other sports, the Cardinals and 49ers played a soccer game. you know, just kicking the ball back and forth. Went into overtime, the Cardinals pulled it out.
I'm just looking at the box score for this game. No one scored a touchdown.
No, well, the Cardinals did.
Oh, then they must
Larry Fitzgerald in overtime. Overtime, right?
Game-winning touchdown, so they didn't have to kick the extra point.
Gotcha.
And the Cardinals did get a touchdown called back during regulation, which, you know, when I looked at it, I'm like, I didn't think there was enough to say that he didn't get it, but whatever. Yeah, they exchanged field goals for four quarters and then went to OT, where the Niners, in a 10-minute overtime, had an 8-minute drive to open up the overtime that resulted in a field goal, and then the Cardinals went down the field in like a minute and a half and scored with 32 seconds left.
I don't know what to make of these Cardinals. And
good. Like, they're 2-2. They've won games, but they're not good. Both their games have come in overtime wins like this, where they went down and had to come back. They jumped against the Colts. They're not good.
Yeah, and the 49ers and the Colts aren't exactly good teams anyway. So what the Cardinals have said to me is that they are a bad team that's still better than, like, the really bad teams.
And, like...
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Mike. I agree with that.
Carson Palmer had to throw 51 times in this game. Oh. Yes, he threw 357, but he had 51 pass attempts. Mm. And you know who's the most hit quarterback in the league so far this year?
Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer.
Yeah, and that was my concern.
You don't want that with a 36-year-old who's had two knee surgeries.
No. And you can't have a 36-year-old throwing 51 times a game because his arm's going to fall off.
Oh, also, fun fact, Carson Palmer, 36 years old, head coach of the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, 36 years old.
Among the many stupid things I said last week, one smart thing I said was that Carson Palmer could be effective as long as they could keep him upright. And being hit the most in the league is not keeping him upright. No. And he will wear down. Eventually, they're going to knock him silly or blow out a knee yet again. And that'll be that. And then we're on to the Drew Stanton show. And then all those other guys that are behind him, I can't remember their names, but there have been some classics in that third string Cardinals quarterback spot. Uh-oh.
You're talking about the John Skeltons.
There, or Tom Gordon or whatever his name was. I can't even remember anymore.
Yeah.
So that's where you're headed, Cardinals. And you got to keep this guy upright to have any sort of chance. And you can't do that. Eventually, one of these hits will take him out, and that'll be the end of it. Bad team. And the 49ers, well, I guess if there's any consolation for the Browns, it's that you're not the 49ers, although you're exactly like them, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, now our hopes hinge on a Browns 49ers 0-16 campaign.
I believe. Do they play each other this year?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, that
ain't that a bitch. Special.
I believe they do. Hold on. Let me
I'm check. Looking at the Browns schedule. I don't see the Niners on here.
Okay, well, then maybe not.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we got hope, boys.
Yeah, I remember the Niners play the Bears and the Jaguars later in the season.
Yeah, we got hope. So we got the Browns and the Niners are still out there. The dream of 0-16 stays alive.
Oh, the Chargers are actually still 0-4, too, yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, but they're going to win one.
Before we go to the Chargers, the one fun fact I had about the 49ers, so they're 0-4, right? In their game against the Rams on Sunday night or Thursday night last week, they scored 6 touchdowns. In the other 3 games, they have not scored a touchdown.
That's a baseball stat. That's one of those weird baseball stats where you get a team scored 17 runs on Wednesday, was shut out on Tuesday and Friday or whatever. It's right.
They get 5 home runs on, you know, last week.
Right.
They haven't hit home runs in the other 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason that's not weird in baseball because you have 162 games. In football, that's just screwed up. You can't be doing that.
Yeah. But yes, let's talk about the Chargers, playing their games in Philadelphia, California. Good. Like, the other games have been bad. This one was bad. It was green as far as you could see. The Let's Go Eagles chants, the boos when the Chargers came out onto the field.
Like, oh, man.
You can't do that against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs fans are going to be, you know, they're going to be happy for the team, but they're not going to deride you the way
because the Chiefs, because Chiefs fans are at the end of the day, you know,
they're polite
mild-mannered Midwesterners. Yeah, right. Mild-mannered Midwesterners. But no, now you're dealing with people from Philly, man.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. it ended up being kind of a close game, but I thought the Eagles were in control for most of it.
Yeah. Looks like the Chargers got some garbage scores late.
Yeah.
And Phil Rivers is not happy.
No,
and the best part was there's no attribution to it because the reporter just heard it when they were standing outside the locker room, so they don't know who said it. But there was a Charger in their locker room after this game said, 16 goddamn away games. Every game's a road game.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, They're not happy about this thing. It's... And the best part was Roger Goodell was there for this one.
Oh, my.
Why would he go?
Because he just wanted to see the shit show for himself. I don't know.
Like, I guess so. But, like, if I'm the commissioner of the NFL, I want to stay as far. I want to be like, I did not want this. I did everything to stop this. I want nothing to do with it.
They can't let this go, right? I mean, obviously, they can't make the move back. Like, say, okay, next week we're playing back at Qualcomm. You can't do that, obviously. I understand that.
You would think it, but they're like, contractually obligated. They have to stay there.
Yeah, but Stan Kroenke's not going to mind it off. The Chargers decide, hey, you know what? We're not going to be your co-tenant coming up in two years.
Stan may not mind, but, like, the Inglewood Stadium has already been selling seats and boxes, you know, priced to accommodate the fact that there are there's going to be two teams there.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. Well, then I don't know what you're going to do.
Season tickets with luxury boxes, yeah.
Well, then just get used to being the perennial road team because that's what you're going to be. I don't know. You know, maybe once they get into the new stadium and I don't know. I guess it's such a dumb thing to do.
We even said before the season, like, the only way the Chargers maybe make some headway in this thing is that they have a really good season and the Rams are bad. Well, flip it, because the Rams are 3-1 and they're fun and they're exciting and it looks like they're on the uptick. And the Chargers have been 0-4, bad, playing in a stadium no one wants to be in and in front of nobody.
Yeah.
Well, no, there are people there, okay. Just
nobody,
not Chargers fans.
Nobody in powder blue. Yeah.
Okay, their next home game after this one, it doesn't get any better. That's the Broncos. They travel pretty good too.
Oh,
even
God.
When they played in San Diego, Broncos fans took over that stadium.
Right.
I can't wait to see what it is in a 20,000 seat stadium.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to, actually. I'm looking forward to that game against the Raiders in L.A. That is going to just be a massacre.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's going to be that'll be worse than this.
There might actually be a massacre.
Yeah. Like, the one lone Chargers fan who goes to that game might actually die.
I know they were somebody was interviewing some Charger fans that were just like standing on the concourses and they were like, yeah, we don't want to sit in our seats because we're surrounded by Philly fans.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have ever been around Philly fans, but that's not a place you want to be. It's no. Just not. I told you guys a story a bunch of times. It was the 96 Eastern Conference Finals in hockey. The Rangers were playing the Phillies. I was at a bar in freaking Ocean City, Maryland, and a bunch of Flyers fans were starting a bunch of shit with us over it.
In Maryland,
yeah. Which, granted, is only about 2 hours from Philly, but still, the point remains. And then they've got the Bills after that. I know the Bills have a very strong fan base. I just don't know how wide-ranging it is.
I know whenever the Sabres play the Kings and the Ducks, there's a decent amount of Sabre fans that show up saying, let's go Buffalo, even when they're bad.
And then you've got the Cleveland Browns, which, okay, yeah, we can laugh and all that, but I will say this. If memory serves, and I could be wrong about this, so I'm not going to state this as absolute fact, but if memory serves, the San Diego chapter of the Browns backers is the biggest one of the whole bunch, of the entire Browns backers worldwide. So you could see a whole lot of brown and orange in that place when the Browns come to town, because it used to happen at Qualcomm, so we'll see, and I don't know, we'll see. And then it's the Raiders in the last game of the year. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's not getting any better. Like, and the funny thing was, of course, the first, like, couple weeks, the reporters around here were trying to, like, play it off and just, like, try to write about the game and put that as a footnote. Like, yeah, and there were a lot of people. But the Chargers, with this and this and this, the lead point on every story I read in the paper this morning was about all the Philly fans.
Well, I think I love the way you put it. Philadelphia, California. That's perfect.
It's exactly what it was.
But I think without question now, we can say that this is, at this point, and granted, it could always improve, but first season of a team that's relocated, this is easily, by far and away, the worst that we've ever seen, right?
Right off the bat, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of any that has ever gone worse than this. Because, well, first off, you've got a team that nobody wanted. I don't know. But anyway, while we're talking about this game,
I'm telling you guys, this is it. This is it.
What?
That GIF personally, like, perfectly sums up the Chargers' entry into L.A.
Ha, 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 ha. It's the wrestler guy that I don't know if you people
have
seen.
The Shockmaster, yeah.
Look up the Shockmaster gif on the internet and you'll find it. It's hysterical. And Mike's absolutely right. That sums it up best.
Like I'm disappointed that no one has like changed the helmet to like a Chargers helmet.
While we're on this game, though, what do we think about the Eagles? I told you, I got on these guys a couple weeks ago. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're really good, again, but we say that about every single team right now, but they're fine.
I think in a sea of mediocrity, they have the potential to maybe rise up and possibly challenge for a playoff spot.
I think tonight's going to be very telling because, you know, if Washington can win tonight and they're 3-1 and Philly's 3-1, then I think it's kind of it's going to be interesting. But I think Philly has enough in the tank that if they can escape this week with a one game lead in the division, that's probably enough to take it because the Cowboys are sputtering and the Giants are just terrible. So,
well, speaking of, shall we move on to the Giants, Zach?
Yeah, let's do it. They lose this one late to the Bucks, 25-23. Bucks hit a field goal as time expires there.
I was watching this game and this was just fun to watch.
So you got the pleasure of Tiki and Rondé Barber on the call.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Okay, I have to stop for a second and ask you guys, and I'll look up the picture while I'm explaining it to you. In Sports Illustrated years ago, they put up a picture of Tiki and Rondé Barber that was the most fucked up thing I've ever seen. And I'm going to try to find it here. They were wearing like these little schoolboy outfits.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to try to find the picture here just to show it to you. Let's see, Sports Illustrated. And whenever I listened to that game of say, and that's all I could think of was that picture of these two in those stupid little schoolboy outfits when they were talking. And, of course, I can't find it. There it is. I got it. Here we go. You ready for this, guys?
Sure.
Here we go.
Oh, that's just weird.
Isn't it? And that's all I could think of. Whenever I would listen to the game, I would think that's what comes. I hear those two guys together, that's what comes to mind.
But why? Like, I guess because they're twins?
Right.
Like,
again, guys, listeners, because this is an audio medium, obviously, but look up Tiki and Rondé Barber Sports Illustrated. You'll find a picture of them dressed identically on a swing set. And that's all you need to know about it. Anyway, on to the game itself.
Giants are bad. Horrible. You know, they've done this a couple of weeks where they're down early and they kind of come back with a surge later. Even if they had won this game, I still wouldn't change my opinion on them. They're bad.
I thought they were going to win the division this year because I bought into all the hype. Oh, the defense is better and Eli's serviceable and blah 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 and Odell Beckham Jr. et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
This team's in the 0-16 sweepstakes, I think. I mean, okay, how great would it be?
I don't think they're going to go 0-16.
But maybe not. But how great would it be if the Giants, at the tail end, I mean, because let's face it, Eli's probably not going to get any better at this point. If they manage to do a Colts deal here and run off a bad season to get Sam Darnold for the Giants, and that's like, and the, you know what I mean? Or Josh Rosen.
Oh, they're going to win next week. They're playing the Chargers.
Where at? In New York?
Yeah, in New York.
Oh, thank God for the Chargers fans. Giants are another team that travels well.
I'm trying to look at their schedule. I could see them going like...
But they could be in the running for one of these franchise quarterbacks is what I'm saying. I don't know if they're going to go winless. I think they're too good to do that, but they're not going to be good.
They'll end up being like 5-11.
Yeah.
They'll win some games towards the end there.
And well, the Bucs are 2-1 now. I still think the Bucs are going to be pretty good this year. I think they're a good football team.
Yeah. You know, looking at the games the Cowboys have lost too, they're not close necessarily. I mean, the Eagles game was 3 points, this Buccaneers game was 2 points. But they haven't lost to bad teams yet.
Who's the Giants?
Cowboys, Lions, Eagles, Bucks.
Yeah.
Not bad.
No, but they you know what though? I mean, if you look at that schedule and you think about those four teams, maybe being 0-4 isn't as crazy as it seems right now. It doesn't seem that unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable, but at the same time, you've got the Eagles who are 3-1. The Redskins could be 3-1 right. by the end of the night. So even if 0-4 is understandable, oh, yeah. it's still not a good place to be as far as the division
no.
goes.
No, but what I'm, I guess
– they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. That, no, I agree with that completely. I'm just saying that maybe 0-4 is at first – I mean, maybe they aren't – again, I don't think they're a playoff team at this point. I think they're pretty bad. But maybe they're not as awful as we think because they have lost to four pretty good teams. So maybe they aren't quite Cleveland, San Francisco bad. Which I can't imagine they are, because even with yeah. Eli, you still got like at least a three quarters of a quarterback as opposed to none at all, like the other two teams. I don't know, but I think the Bucs are still going to be pretty good, and they play the Patriots on Thursday. The Bucs.
Who do the Bucs?
Pretty sure they play the Pats on Thursday.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The Buccaneers, guys, our Tampa Bay Buccaneers could put the Patriots below 500 for the first time, and I don't even know how long. Could you imagine?
I mean, it's in Tampa.
Oh, Mike, you come on, man. You got to pull through for us on this one. Get those guys to do what they got to do.
I mean, I don't know what I could go.
See Tom Brady, you know, out and about in the Tampa area. Just, you know.
Just hit him in the knee with like a tire iron or something. Nothing serious. Just or trip him. Make him trip and fall. That's all. Oh, I'm sorry, Tom.
Keep him outside and dehydrated so he gets a really bad sunburn.
Right, exactly. Get him really sunburned. There you go, Mike. That's what you can do.
It's been overcast the last couple of days, so I don't...
Damn it, Mike.
We ask... You got one job. One job. That's it. Just one job we're asking you to do here.
I think... You know what? I'll do my best. I'll stake out the UGG store in town and...
last thing on the Giants, though. Do you know who the only team to make the playoffs after starting 0-4 is?
I want to say it's the Ravens, maybe?
The 1992 San Diego Football Chargers.
Hey, look at there. There's hope, Mike. Okay.
There is hope. There is hope. Of course, that was the good vibes of San Diego, not the vibes of indifference coming from L.A.
Not the 16 straight road games.
No.
And then the last game of the afternoon was Broncos Raiders. The Broncos looked really good. Raiders were fine. The Raiders didn't look great, but they were okay.
Apparently Carr had back spasms.
Yeah.
Late in the game he got a knee like to the lower back, he said, like in the kidney area, which sent like this paralyzing shock down the rest of his legs. he could still walk around or whatever, but like you could tell when he was walking around, his back was a little bit straight up and his shoulders were kind of arched back, trying to, you know, keep the pressure off his lower back. They said he's going to be fine, but still, Raiders are 2-2, but the Broncos are 3-1. I thought the Broncos offense was going to slow down. That defense is still as good as ever and the Broncos are doing enough.
I'm going to go just like with Mike brought up with the Bills. I'm going to go back with last year with the Broncos. They got to a start like this last year. I'm just not sold. I think that they're playing pretty good football right now, but they're just it's kind of like a house of cards. I mean, you've got to hope that Trevor Siemian can keep doing what he's doing, and maybe a year's experience will help him do that. I'm a little more sold on the Broncos this time around than I was this time last year when they were off to a good start. Yeah. I don't think the Raiders have got a thing to worry about at 2-2. They'll be okay, I think.
Yeah. I think all this does is make the playoffs a little bit harder for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Because I think the Chiefs are still the best team in that division now, yeah. Clearly. They should win the division, and if they don't, then something drastic went wrong.
Well, we got to remember, these are the Chiefs who, even before Andy Reid, had a history of having things right in front of them and kind of blowing it towards the end.
That's true. That's true. But
that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. And then we just got Redskins Chiefs tonight.
Who are we liking?
Chiefs. It's in Kansas City.
That's a tough place to play.
Chiefs are going to win.
I think the Chiefs are going to win too, but I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Redskins, tonight we find out if the Redskins are actually good or not. I don't expect them to win, but if they can hang tough, and a tough place to play.
Chiefs go 4-0, keep the undefeated dream alive.
Let's talk a little Major League Baseball playoffs. They start tomorrow, right? Tuesday. With the silly dumbass wild card games,
with the wild card games that will sure to leave one fan base embittered and jaded.
Now, just let me throw this out again because I do it every year, but wouldn't it make more sense to shorten the season to 154 games and make this a real series? Because one game, I mean, let's be honest about it, one game the Padres could knock off any one of these teams, any single one of them. I don't care, Dodgers right on down through to the Twins.
The problem with doing a full series for the first round, then you have the other teams that are sitting around for a week.
Well, you know, I'm not saying a full series. I'm like a three-game series, just a three-gamer, just to make it just a little more fair. You don't want to give them like the full advantage of like a five-game or whatever, or seven, but no, but like a three-game series just to make this less ridiculous.
Right, but okay, let's say, when would you have them started on? Well, they couldn't start it on the Monday because in case of tiebreakers.
So no, but we would have, let's see, if we back up, we take eight games off the season, right? That puts us into the middle of last week where the season ended.
Yeah, but they always want the season to end on a Sunday.
Well, yeah, but you can make that work too. What I'm saying is that you can knock off a week and a half of the season to make more room for these playoffs because I just don't – like the Yankees play the Twins tomorrow, okay? Yeah. I don't know that any of us are going to argue that the Twins are better than the Yankees, but the Twins could easily win this game, and then they're off to play the Indians. And I don't know if that's entirely fair. I mean, I'd love it because I want to see the Twins win, but it just doesn't seem right. And I don't know anybody that – I like the extra playoff teams because I think it helps with – the season throughout because it keeps everybody in it for longer, but then you get there and like a team like the Yankees has a pretty good year and they get knocked off by the Twins who won, I don't know what, 85 games. I don't even know. They finished 17 behind the Indians. I know that.
Yeah. I'm pulling them up right now. I think, let's see, the Yankees were 91-71 and the Twins finished just six games behind.
All right. That's not too bad, but you know what I'm saying? 85 wins.
It's not great. You can win. There's plenty of teams that miss the playoffs by six games.
Yeah.
You know?
But anyway, so that's what we, you know, I just wanted to, you know, do my annual bitch about the wild card game. And,
and of course, before we get into the playoffs, I just want to commend the Angels for finishing in second place in their division, a whole 21 games behind the Houston Astros and two games under 500. I'm sure Mike Trout is happy.
Yeah. Thanks.
He says he's okay, but he's fine. But
thanks for nothing, Blue Jays schmucks.
Mike Trout, if nothing else, he's making lots of money and he lives in Los Angeles. I guess there could be worse fates in life, and he's playing baseball every day.
Yes, you know.
But they are wasting this guy, completely wasting him. But you can thank Josh Hamilton and Albert Pujols for that.
Oh, I can thank Artie Moreno for both of those things.
Right.
But of course you can't fire the owner, so here we are. Anyway, let's talk about teams that matter for now. The wild card, it sits with me okay. The Rockies also finished six games behind the Diamondbacks, for that. It's
I don't know. I can't pick teams in these wild card games though because it's so random. The Yankees should beat the Twins, but it's one baseball game in essentially a vacuum. The Twins could very easily blow the Yankees out because it's just one of those games.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could stick the Padres in this game, and you could pick the Padres, and people wouldn't look. They couldn't say you're entirely nuts because it's one game. Let's say the Padres. Let's just use that as an argument for a second. The Padres could come out and go, we are going to use our entire pitching staff to win this game, and they could very well do it. The Yankees can't do that. Well, they could, I suppose, but they're probably not going to because they're going to think, well, we're better than the Padres, so we're going to play it straight. And it's just screwy. I'm with Mike. You can't really pick it. You can just kind of guess. You know, the Yankees should win, but will they? Well, we'll find out tomorrow, I guess. But anyway, so.
You have to pick the Yankees over the Twins, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know the pitching matchups. I don't know like what their records against each other during the season were, but I do know
Santana versus Serviano.
I do know historically that the Twins usually shit their pants whenever they look at the Yankees in the playoffs.
Yes,
they do.
I remember.
But at the same
when
time,
they played each other in the playoffs, like what was it? Like 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And I remember that being a spectacular failure by the Twins.
But at the same time, they're usually able to get at least one win against the Yankees, and that's all they need here.
Yep.
Maybe.
This could be the perfect storm for the Twins to knock the Yankees out of the playoffs.
Well, and we've seen it happen. a lot in baseball, even before this, where, you know, an 85-win wildcard team catches fire and wins the whole thing. I mean, the Giants did it.
Didn't the Cardinals when they won?
Cardinals, the 2011 Cardinals, yeah.
Cardinals won the playoff game against the Braves.
Against that stupid pop fly.
Right, the fly out to left field that was ruled an infield fly, which I will never understand.
And didn't that team go on to win the World Series?
Yeah.
They did, yes.
It was either the 06 Cardinals were barely over 500, I know, and I think it was the 2011 Cardinals that screwed the Braves, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's Santana against Cervino, and
here's the thing. I don't think, no matter what, no matter who wins this wild card game, I don't think either of them are going to beat the Indians.
Well, I
don't think it matters.
That's really what I wanted to say going into this. This is the first time I can ever remember where I think it's the Indians to lose this time. I think they are clearly the best team in baseball, even better than the Dodgers.
I'm not sure I'd go that far, but I think they're clearly the best team in the AL.
Yeah, clearly the best team in the American League, and I think there's a very good argument to put them ahead of the Dodgers overall.
The pitching staff has just been incredible. Because the trick was, I mean, they always had like the three lockdown starters and a pretty decent bullpen, but the four and five. Now you've got Bowers pitching well, which is great. And Mike Clevenger's pitching well for the Indians. Now, it just adds a whole new dimension. They're going to be healthy. Michael Brantley's back. This is the year, and I'm hoping what we're going to get this year with the Indians is what we got with the Royals, where they lost to the Giants the first time and then came back and won. I forget who they beat to win the whole thing.
The Mets.
Was it the Mets?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping for this year, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think I would back on that too. Because I think the other series would be the Astros and the Red Sox. I think the Astros are a good enough team too. When they get on cylinders, they finished a game behind Cleveland.
Yeah.
Ultimately, and Cleveland really got to their point because of that 22-game winning streak.
Yeah, they went, I forget, like 35-5 or something over their last 40. It was some ridiculous amount.
No one in the NL. No one in the AL East really impressed me that much, not even Boston. So Houston, I think, is going to have a very easy time of this.
And here's the thing with Cleveland, though. Did they burn all their gas already?
With who, the Red Sox or the Astros?
The Indians.
No, I don't think so. The argument or the big knock on them this year was they were never playing up to their potential. When they finally did, we saw what happened. When everything started clicking, they were like, okay, this is the team we're supposed to be. So I don't think this is a matter of...
They didn't burn through it in that 22-game streak?
I really don't believe so, no. They just played up to their capabilities. Now, granted, a 22-game win streak, that's incredible, but it wasn't there wasn't a lot of luck. They were just dominating teams because they finally – because all season long, it was what's wrong with the Indians, what's wrong with the Indians. They should be better than this because everybody picked them – a lot of people picked them to win it all this year. And when they finally got it together, it was when that streak started. So, no, I don't think they've burnt through it. I think they're just playing at the level that they're capable of now, believe it or not. I don't say that as an Indians fan. I say that as a baseball fan. This team is this good. They really are. They can hit all up and down the lineup. They've got good pitching, a great bullpen. They're just this good.
Yeah. I would pick the Indians and then not that this is any surprise if you're just going by the records, but I would pick the Indians and then the Astros would be the team that might give them the trouble. Because I think Houston has a good enough pitching staff also.
Right.
They could put together runs.
And I think lineup for lineup, I like the Astros, like they're hitting just a tad better than the Indians. I'd give the Indians the edge in the pitching staff, but I'll tell you what, the Astros scare me. I'm not really, they're the only team in baseball that I look at and go, I don't want to play these guys, or the Astros, or I should say in the American League. The rest of them, like, I'm fine with, but the Astros, I really kind of hope, believe it or not, that the Red Sox can pull it off and knock off the Astros because I really don't want any part of them. Yep. I just don't.
Interesting thing between those two teams also, they both had better road records than they did home records.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's baseball. Baseball's weird that way.
we're not really giving any shot to the Red Sox then?
No. I think Houston's going to handle them pretty easily.
I think the Red Sox have a decent – they have a puncher's chance. I think if they can get out – another thing you got to think about with the Red Sox too is they've got David Price coming out of the bullpen now. Like the guy for the Indians did last year, Andrew Miller, where he can pitch anytime in any game. So that makes that can make a big difference.
I saw that, and I was just sitting at a bar, and we were watching highlights. And that came on, and there was a guy just down the way. It's like, oh, David Price, the reliever now, pretty expensive.
Yeah, like, very expensive, and I don't know if it's going to stay that way. But for this offseason or postseason, having that guy playing the Andrew Miller role, that's not bad. That's not a bad spot to be in, really.
It is a lot of money for a middle reliever.
But you think about it, too, though. Like, if you go out and your starter's off after three innings, you've got David Price can come out and throw six innings. Okay. And he's pretty good. Yeah. So it adds a dimension to the Red Sox. They make them dangerous. But this Astros team is really good. You know, we saw this happen a few years ago. They were so bad. And we said, you know, they're building. And in 5 years, they're really going to be something. And here we are 5 years later, and they're really something.
But so we all pick Cleveland then, yeah?
Ultimately. Out of the American League or just out of this?
Out of the American League.
Yeah, I am, yeah. I mean, I'm not comfortable doing it because you always worry about doing the jinx thing. But, yeah, I can't, you know, either them or the Astros, but I got to go with my guys.
Yeah, the Indians have they were the smart money's on. I think Houston could definitely give them a run for their money, but I think all things being equal, I'd got to go with the Indians.
But look at the world we're in now, guys. The Cleveland Indians and Houston Astros are the two best teams in the American League.
Well, here's because I know how soul-crushing the MLB playoffs can be, this is what's going to happen. The Yankees will beat the Twins.
Yeah.
And then the Indians will beat the Yankees, of course. But then the Red Sox will beat the Astros because, you know, the Red Sox. And then Terry Francona against the Red Sox for the AL championship.
Bring them on.
Yeah.
We kicked their asses last year. We'll do it again this year.
In the National League.
This is where it gets interesting.
Your top seed is the Dodgers, and they will face the wild card winner of Arizona and Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado can be dangerous. I think Arizona can be dangerous. I think the Dodgers want the Rockies to win this game.
Oh, they definitely want the Rockies to win this game. If you're a Dodgers fan, that's exactly what you want.
And if I think the Diamondbacks win this game, I think the Dodgers lose the Diamondbacks.
You know what? I agree with that because the Diamondbacks just had their number towards the end of the season.
Yeah. And hey, look, as much as I, in the back of my head, I really don't want the Dodgers to win because I know enough Dodger fans that they bother me. I think the Dodgers are one of those teams that, you know, once the Cubs finally got theirs, I'm not saying that, you know, I don't want the Cubs to win again because that'd be kind of cool in its own right. But the Dodgers are the team that hasn't won in a while, you know, out of the National League.
Right.
And yeah, there's the Indians, of course, but 1988 was quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers have had a lot of spectacular postseason failures since then. They haven't even been back to the World Series since then, I don't think,
nope.
Right?
Nope.
So I'd be okay with them winning, but I just think if it's them versus the Diamondbacks, I think it's just the thing where the Diamondbacks have them for whatever reason.
The Diamondbacks sent them reeling. Remember the Dodgers are just like on this record-setting pace? And yeah. They played a series against the Diamondbacks. Maybe mid-August, early September, and the Diamondbacks just kicked their asses. And they went reeling like on a 10 or 12-game losing streak after that.
They're the first team to have a 10-game or longer losing streak in the regular season and make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Diamondbacks caused all that. And the Diamondbacks are good. I mean, they're not. This isn't like a Twins team here that's just barely in. The Dodgers just got off to that incredibly great start and put so much distance between themselves and the Diamondbacks and Rockies. But the Rockies and Diamondbacks are both good teams. So the Dodgers do not have an easy road here at all.
No, and I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks to beat the Rockies. It's a wild card game, so, like, again, picking a team is kind of pointless. But for both these wild card teams, I'm just going to go with the highest ranked team, and that's the Yankees in the AL and the Diamondbacks in the NL. So
yeah,
I think they go in, and I think they beat the Rockies, and then, they beat the Diamondbacks. I mean, they beat the Dodgers.
See, the thing is, too, though, I think the Rockies can beat the Diamondbacks. Not just in the one game, anything could happen sort of sense. I think even if it was a series, I would still think that the Rockies have a pretty damn good chance to beat the Diamondbacks. But if you're the Dodgers, you would much prefer to see the Rockies or the D-backs. So that's where this thing gets really, really interesting in that way is all that stuff. And then with the other series, the Nationals and the Cubs. Oh boy.
The Nationals are basically the Major League I mean they're the like a sister team to the Capitals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't get over the hump either.
They drink from the same water fountains.
Right. Yeah. Something.
It's just like, yeah, sure, 97 games. Yeah, Bryce Harper, really nice.
Bryce Harper and, you know, Alexander Ovechkin, like, do they go to, like, the same subway or something?
I don't know,
like,
man.
There must be something going on.
I don't know, but the Nationals are, I mean, they're really not a lot of, they even have the same color schemes the whole bit. They're basically the Caps playing baseball.
Mm-hmm. The Cubs had a rough start to the season, and they pulled it together, and they you know, righted the ship, still made it a 92-win team. Defending world champion Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes right down to it, right, you got Washington, who can't get over the hump in the playoffs, and then you have Chicago, who, yeah, they had a crappy start to the season, but you know what? Adversity sometimes makes these teams stronger, so I got to say, Chicago is probably not going to have too much of a problem with Washington.
I'm with you, Mike. I think the Cubs make quick work of these guys.
Yeah, and they experienced the greatest world championship party of all time.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the Cubs. So, yeah, I think, you know, it sucks. Like, I hate when there are teams like the Nationals that do just, like, because really, like, with the Capitals, I can get why there's some, you know, animosity towards the Capitals, or, you know, I have animosity towards the Sharks and the A's, but the Nationals, just, like, it's just sad.
I know. I like the Nationals. Like, I do.
Oh, and really, like, you guys are going to do this again?
Hey, I just know my dad loves it.
Yeah. Being an Expos fan?
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I like the Nationals, and I would love to see them succeed, but they're not going to. I don't know what it is, but forget it. It's the Cubs are going to win this. And we talked about after the Cubs won the World Series, when the Cubs hate would start. I can tell you when it started for me. It started yesterday. I said, fuck these guys. I hate them. Bring them on. I want to beat them. So oh my God, my dream this year is to beat the Cubs in the World Series. That's what I want more than anything.
So, okay. So, man, it's just so weird because depending on who wins that wild card game is who I pick in that series with the Dodgers. And if it's Cubs Dodgers, I take the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers win that too.
But you see, the Dodgers have kind of had a Capitals or Sharks-esque, you know, mentality to them, where, like, they've had pretty good teams last couple of years.
And they could have beaten the Cubs, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or was it last year?
Last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
They had a shot to beat them last year.
Yes, they did.
But if it's the Diamondbacks, I would take the Cubs. But, I don't know.
It's I think looking at the National League, I think the Cubs make quick work of the Nationals. If the Dodgers can somehow survive Arizona or Colorado, then it would be Dodgers Cubs. And I think the Dodgers, a month ago I said Dodgers definitely because they were just playing baseball at a level that no one else was playing it, but they're not doing that anymore. You know, the Indians were chasing them down for the best record in baseball there the last week of the season.
Right.
I still have to go with the Dodgers. I think out of the National League, but that's the thing. I don't really feel comfortable picking anybody until I see who wins the National League wild card game. Because if it's Arizona, right. I'm on the Diamondbacks at that point.
I'm gonna go with Chicago Cubs, Cleveland Indians World Series.
A rematch, in other words.
Cubs Indians 2.0. Sure.
I think if we're talking about what Major League Baseball would want too. In terms of viewership, if you get Cubs, Indians, and you can say, hey, remember the best World Series of all time that you saw last year? Mm-hmm. We're going to look at it again. People will be like, oh, I'm in for that. I don't know. Would Indians, Dodgers incite that?
I think it would put the Indians in the place the Cubs were in last year.
I think if you have Indians, Dodgers, then you can say, like, the two best teams in baseball, right? Like, record-wise.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if that necessarily has the same pizzazz as a rematch from last year's World Series, but I think saying, oh, you know, the two best teams in baseball, I think that's enough to get a lot of people watching. So
I think the only thing that say the networks and baseball might like more would be a Cubs Red Sox World Series, although it wouldn't really have the juice it would have had before they both won.
Yeah.
You know, now it's just like two monolithic, you know, giant fuck all teams that are playing each other. It's basically Yankees Dodgers from the 80s now. But I think if it's Indians.
We can say for sure that the series that they don't want is Twins Rockies.
Yeah. Pretty much. But I think if the Indians...
Astros really inspire a whole lot of confidence.
Yeah, I think that they want the Indians or the Red Sox or Yankees to come out of the American League, and they want the Cubs or the Dodgers out of the National League.
Yeah.
Maybe the Nationals if they can't get the Cubs or the Dodgers. But if it's Dodgers and Indians, it puts the Indians in the spot the Cubs were in last year, which would be interesting. But a rematch would be a lot of fun, and I'm not going to play it as nice this time if it happens again. But I like my guys' chances, though. I hate to say it because I'm normally not like this, but I think my Cleveland Indians are going to win it all this year.
We will see.
And then I don't know how I will act after that because that will be really something.
I think those are actually going to be pretty good playoffs.
I think they're going to be really good.
This is like a pretty good slate. I mean, there's a couple series where I just have no interest. It's weird. Despite being an AL fan, I'm infinitely more interested in the National League playoffs.
If the Indians weren't in this, I would be the same way.
That's the wildcard game I want to watch is Arizona-Colorado. Whichever way that breaks, that Dodgers series is going to be entertaining. And I want to see if the Nationals national or not.
We will be back next week with more exciting news from the National Football League. We'll have our first week of the NHL under our belt and baseball playoffs and all sorts of good stuff. We're hitting the prime time here.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite times of the year. Baseball playoffs, hockey, football, this is a golden spot.
Follow us on Twitter. Argue with us about the Arizona Cardinals, but only the Arizona Cardinals, no one else. Subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and YouTube, and you can also find us on Facebook. We will be back next week with a whole lot more. See ya.
Later. Go Leafs, go.
Go Tribe.
Let's go Ducks.